Support for this podcast comes from Blackline and U.S. Bank.
Hello, this is Walker White, president of BDNA Corporation, where we provide better data for better decisions. And you're listening to the Middle Market Thought Leader Podcast.
This is episode 142.
We've allowed thousands and thousands of people into our country.
There was no documentation. There was no nothing. So we're going to keep our country safe.
I came as a refugee from the former Soviet Union in 76. Obviously, it is very early to judge the performance of the new administration, and we have a bit of conflicting messages coming through. But I will tell you, as a businessman, I am absolutely in agreement that we need to streamline our regulations. I think we have too many regulations. It's in some areas, it's very hard to do business. I, for one, for many years, refused to shift jobs out of the country. And at one point, I remember Wall Street Journal quoted me by saying that once those jobs leave the United States, they will never come back. But over the years, what I realized and what I actually was forced to do by my multinational clients is to open my eyes and understand that the labor market is a global market.
From the Middle Market Executive Digital Network, this is Middle Market Thought Leader, where we speak to owners and C-suite leaders of mid-sized companies about how they're growing their businesses. This is Jack Sweeney. On today's show, we're pleased to have Phil Friedman, CEO and founder of Computer Generated Solutions, joining us once again. The business Phil built employs hundreds of Americans today, but the success of this middle market business was largely due to Phil's foresight when it comes to accessing talent in different parts of the world. CGS employs 3,000 people today in Chile alone. Phil's story is filled with contradictions, as is the middle market today. We're going to speak to Phil about creating jobs in America, trade legislation, and employee health care. Our interview begins right after these words from our sponsor.
Obviously, in today's political environment, my story may be somewhat unique, but I believe that it's not that unique.
You want smart, clear, and honest guidance to help you meet the financial goals of your middle market business. With U.S. Bank, you have a partner who will help you find the right solutions to help your organization reduce payment costs, enhance control, improve cash flow, and expand your spend visibility. U.S. Bank's dedication to making ethical decisions and doing the right thing is at the heart of what they do, and their efforts haven't gone unnoticed. They've been named a 2017 World's Most Ethical Company for the third consecutive year by the Ethisphere Institute. To learn more, visit uspayment.com/middlemarket.
I came as a refugee from the former Soviet Union in 1976. Didn't speak any English, had a fairly good education in engineering and economics and finance, and found myself trying to figure out what I'm going to do in my newly adopted country. And at that time, the computer industry, the information technology industry, was in very early stages. And I was fortunate enough to be accepted in a crash program in NYU, where I had the opportunity to study English and computer science. And slowly but surely, I got involved with technology, initially as a systems analyst, then a manager of an IT department in a manufacturing company. And in 1983, I started Computer-Generated Solutions, CGS, with 5 employees. Today, we employ 7,500 employees. We are present in 6 different countries, customers in over 45 different countries, and we do a lot of interesting work and deliver a lot of interesting solutions, technology solutions, to our customers. As far as, you know, you ask about the new economic and political environment and how it will affect companies like mine and what I see happening. Obviously, we are all for creating jobs in the United States. I believe that we have a lot of opportunities to bring some high technology jobs back to the United States. But having said that, one major concern is that we're slowly falling behind on our STEM programs. We are not producing enough computer engineers and programmers and technical specialists. And we are falling behind countries like India and China, where they produce in hundreds of thousands, over a million a year, of new engineers, while we hardly scratch the surface and produce only 50,000, about 50,000 new graduates with computer degrees. And that makes me worried because our security agencies, our Department of Defense, our government agencies, where security is paramount, and we have the requirement of U.S. citizenship, we will not be able to fulfill those requirements.
What have you heard from this administration that you welcome or you believe aligns nicely with your business interests?
I think the investment in the infrastructure is a very big, important, and long overdue project, and I hope that U.S. Congress will side with the president and it will be approved, and is the issue of health care. Just to give you an example, my company's healthcare cost the last 2 years was increasing at 23 and 28% annually. Now, in order not to hurt the employees of the company, I was able and willing to absorb the increases, but it cannot continue forever. The cost of healthcare is out of control. And frankly, to many employees, is not affordable. And this needs to change. And I am hoping that the Congress will take a very hard look at the proposed changes and will adopt changes to make healthcare more affordable.
Here in the States, it's interesting, when I talk about hiring with a lot of business owners like yourself, they're very concerned about the correct cultural fit, about the person fitting in the work culture. And meanwhile, I wonder, in other parts of the world, are work culture, do we talk about work culture? Or is just the idea of having a job means more? So the attitude is not all of what we have to deal with here in the States when making a hire.
Yeah, clearly, Jake, you're raising a very, very good question. So I, for one, for many years, refused to shift jobs out of the country. And at one point, I remember Wall Street Journal quoted me by saying that once those jobs leave United States, They will never come back. But over the years, what I realized and what I actually was forced to do by my multinational clients is to open my eyes and understand that the labor market is a global market, that my customers need consistent support all over the globe. And in fact, today I'm delivering services in 28 different languages. I cannot accomplish this task from United States of America. Now, putting aside the cost consideration, which is obviously to many of my customers is very important, I think the question you're raising, cultural affinity, ability to understand the U.S. market, understand the global market, how do we accomplish it? And one model that we always deploy is wherever we move into a country and start developing our services in a region, we use local management. We don't try to impose on them U.S. management, U.S. culture. We understand that every country is a little bit different. And it would be a mistake to say that there is no, you know, certain cultural demands that we have to deal with in local countries. For example, Chile, okay, we have a sophisticated employees. They do some of the most complicated and engaging jobs involving healthcare, involving banking, you know, doing technology support, working in telecom. So we are very careful to make sure that we respect local culture and at the same time bring certain processes in place that we deploy all over the world. And we are consistent in how we handle customer problems, how we handle customer needs. And it's no different in terms of attention we give it to it than in any other country around the globe.
There's clearly some debate when it comes to trade these days. How would you characterize your own mindset when it comes to trade?
So I do believe in free trade. I believe it's good for the United States. It's good for our partners. But I, at the same time, will say that whatever trade agreements the administration signs and the Congress approves, it has to be fair to our partners and it has to be fair to the United States. Some of the agreements we entered over the years are not fair agreements to the United States. And I think they need to be opened up, they need to be looked at, and wherever it's possible, they need to be adjusted to treat the United States workers same way we treat a partner anywhere in the world. So the answer is very simple. Free trade, yes. Fair trade, yes.
Earlier this year, shortly after his inauguration, you might recall the president convened a meeting with many of the top leaders of the IT industry. I'm curious, as someone who has built an IT services business, what did you make of that meeting and some of what was discussed?
So I actually think that what Donald Trump did, he basically declared that he understands the importance of the digital economy, understands the importance of the technology industry to the well-being of United States. We are the leaders in the world in all the new technologies that being brought to enhance, first of all, to enhance the way we live and to enhance productivity, make us more productive in the world today. And we deal with a lot of issues in some respect, you know, regulatory issues, constantly having issues in Europe with regulations. And we need to open this dialogue and see how we can improve it. We also need to deal with the issue of intellectual property. You know, we cannot allow China to trump the responsibility, and using Trump didn't mean Donald Trump, the responsibility to preserve the integrity of IP of the products that being delivered from United States. So I think it's a good dialogue. I think the dialogue needs to be further to expand STEM programs to make sure that we are self-sufficient, that we don't necessarily need to go abroad to bring in technology experts. But for the foreseeable future, I think the availability of H-1B visas will be very important. And I know this was one of the discussions that Trump had with the executives. You know, we depend today on some foreign skills that help us to move this economy forward. And if we don't realize this, we will be in trouble.
Thought leader listeners, don't go anywhere. We're about to ask our guest how he makes a great hire, right after these words from our sponsor. Does your finance department remain bogged down in the trenches using spreadsheets to accomplish complex accounting and finance tasks? This is no way to operate a modern finance organization. BlackLine has the solution. A finance and accounting end-to-end platform. It's finance, controls, and automation. It's time to reinvest your people's time in high-value activities and enter the age of modern finance. Check out a no-hassle free demo at blackline.com/CFO. Phil, I want to thank you for answering our questions today. These are a little removed from what we usually ask our middle market business leaders. But we felt your answers and perspective could be enlightening, and I know we're not disappointed. But I do have one last question for you, and it has everything to do with job creation. And it's a question that really doesn't have a one answer. How do you make a great hire?
So I think you're asking a very important and a very difficult at the same time question. The success of any company depends not on technology, not on productivity, not on facilities. 80-90% of success comes from the right people working for the company. In my company at CGS, I make it my responsibility to meet every key hire to the company, because I know that if they're successful, the new people coming on board, they can bring a lot of good knowledge, they can bring best practices, and they can, at the same time, damage the company if we make the wrong hire. So it has to be culturally aligned. I like people who have some entrepreneurial spirit in them. I certainly look for people who are well educated. And very important, I look for people who want and willing and able to work in teams, because it's a team effort. It's not an individual. You can have the brightest, most capable individual on board, and if he is not able to work with the rest of the team, it's not going to work. So it's many parameters. Sometimes it's just the gut feel. You have to like the person who you bring on board. But I think it's probably one of the most important decision an executive makes. And, the mistakes can be very costly.
Phil Freeman, thank you for joining us on Middle Market Thought Leader.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Hello, it's Jack Sweeney. The risk of cyber attack for a middle market business these days is real. The best way to ensure your business is protected against cyber threats is to stay educated on current attacks, implement policies and processes designed to minimize risk and exposure, and to maintain a high state of awareness within your business. To help protect your middle market business, Middle Market Thought Leader, along with its partner, U.S. Bank, has established a data security best practices library designed to help your company respond to a growing number of cyber threats. To sharpen your firm's response to the cyber threat, access our data security library under the Resources tab at middlemarketexecutive.com. Check back for new additions to the library each week as we add more resources to protect your business.